His name is David Luke Flatman, Commander of the Armies of the West, General of the Somerset Regions, loyal servant to the true Emperor, Thomas George Llewellyn Shanklin, father to a noisy cat, husband to a vegan, and he will have a salad in this life or the next. It's time for Flats and Shanks.
Hello, everybody, and welcome
Hi.
Welcome to this week's episode of our weekly podcast. I'm David Flatman.
Told you a couple of weeks ago, mate, we're going to have to change up the intros.
Happy New Year.
It's too predictable.
Happy New Year.
We've done a podcast in the new year already.
Have we?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but again, for those who haven't listened to the previous podcast, Happy New Year. Happy Christmas.
I don't want people saying happy birthday to
happy
me.
Happy Bar Mitzvah.
9 days after my birthday. So I'm stopping now.
But you do like people commenting on your jacket.
No.
2 months after you've worn it for the first time.
No, I don't.
You wore it again at the weekend.
Yeah, it's because it's the best jacket in the world. It's so comfy and warm. That's why I wear it.
But when you put your hands up in the air, it shows a little bit of belly.
Six pack. Yeah.
Pork belly.
It's quite. I don't mind a short jacket. I've got shorter ones, longer ones. I don't mind them.
No.
I don't mind like a bomber jacket type length.
Different lengths for different needs.
Different needs, exactly.
I'd look at a couple of jackets today, actually, just as I was putting a check into the bank in Cardiff. I popped into
dropping it.
Hugo Ross.
Dropping some G's.
Hugo Ross in the market.
No, Hugo Ross. Okay.
Right next to Bed Taker. Yeah. Don't know.
Go on then.
I'm going to get one. I just don't know. So I could do a little bit of advice from anyone listening about what jacket to get, because I don't want to get a puffer jacket or a bomber jacket with a shine finish.
Why not?
Because people are just going to compare me to you. Like I'm copying you.
You're getting a new car next week, aren't you? Are you? Yes, tell them. Yes or no?
It's a vehicle, not a car.
What are you getting?
Something.
What are you getting?
I'm just changing. I don't want people to know what I'm getting, because they'll follow me. They'll follow me.
What car are we in now?
We are in...
You people at home all know this, so you don't. We're not being tossy when we talk about this.
No,
Land Rover Ambassador.
We're in Flats's
black
free car.
Range Rover Sport. Not a free car, I work for it. A black Range Rover Sport. What car are you getting next week, mate?
Something similar.
Are you getting a black Range Rover Sport?
I don't know, mate.
You don't want to copy me, though. Okay, cool.
No. I have to change the colour now.
Get a new jacket.
Who's got a red one?
I'm not getting a new jacket. I actually love that jacket. I went to the cinema yesterday and watched Paddington 2 on my own. With the family. And I kept it on the whole way through because it was a bit chilly. And it was just so comfy. It's like wearing a blanket.
But every time you move, though, you're going to hear a rustling noise, aren't you?
No, mate.
You do. It makes a noise when you move.
I don't move when I sleep.
It's like when you're trying to watch something and someone's eating a bag of crisps.
Yeah, maybe.
It's really noisy.
It's not a shell suit.
I hate people eating at the cinema, by the way. Get your sweets, pay for them, eat them before the movie starts.
Bang them in pre-trailers.
Stop making so much noise, eating all the way through.
Yeah.
It's annoying for everyone.
Yeah.
Before I forget, and you forget, we have got to announce our live Fullers podcast. So we're going live again.
Announce it,
Monday, the 29th of January, 2018. We're doing it in the Token House, which is a pub in the city.
Yeah.
Go onto our Facebook, go onto our Twitter account. Tickets are £17.50.
Yeah.
They're available right now. We've got a special guest coming as well, obviously.
Right now?
As in, who's coats that jacket now?
Are you shouting?
No.
Or is it me?
No.
Am I really quiet?
I'm just getting excited about it.
All right.
It's called Colour in Your Voice.
Oh, right. Okay.
Maybe we should try it.
All right, yeah.
Who's going to be our live guest?
It is going to be the man that a few journalists once said I was going to be the new version of him. David Flatman is the new so-and-so, but it never happened because I wasn't good enough. It is Jason Leonard.
Your ticket includes a little bit of free food and a pint of London Pride or Guinness on entry. So
realistically, you'd be able to have both if you want them. I reckon you get more than one.
There'd be some people that don't want to drink London Pride or Guinness because...
If you want to smash a few pints, and they'll let you do it, I reckon.
Because they've not hit that midlife crisis like me, so they still drink lager because they're lads.
I was drinking Guinness when I was 21, absolute operator on the London scene.
Yeah.
On the ones and twos, I was drinking Guinness. So don't come with that.
And you did tell me off air that you're up for a bit of tops off singing, didn't you? A bit of karaoke.
No, I did not tell you that. We're doing it in the car again, aren't we? But you got a busy schedule.
We're doing the podcast in the car, just to clarify.
Okay, we're doing the podcast in the car again. It is an odd place to do podcasts. There's no question about that. But it just seems to work. They're good sound studios, aren't they?
They're designed to keep the sound out.
And we're busy people.
So you can't hear screaming.
Do it in your car next week, your new car. Well, it'd be exactly the same, wouldn't it? Are you getting the same colour seats as me as well?
I don't know if I'm getting it yet, mate. I might have to cancel it now.
Have you still got that DF number plate coming? I've been surfing the web for private number plates.
But and other things.
But I can't get one. Firstly, because the ones I want are extortionately expensive. They're a great investment, that's the point. If you get a good one, they're a really good investment. But it's just so hard not to look like a bellend with a private number plate.
I bought one once, and I tried to get like Shanko or Shanklin, it ended up looking like Shivchenko. So I sold it with a car.
Did you?
Yeah. But
so you can get F1 ATS flats, you can get that.
I mean, if I'm getting a new car, though, it's going to have new plates on. I want people to know it's new. So.
Oh, yeah, wait a year.
Yeah.
Wait a year until it's 2019, then do it.
But number plates are uber expensive. If you have a look.
Well, good ones online. Are.
Yeah. You want a good one, though, don't you?
Yeah. But then, yeah, you do.
I mean, what would you think about getting
Big Dave? No, I was looking at to buy, but looking at like DLF1. You don't want three initials because then whoever might buy it off you, you're limiting your market then, aren't you? Because they've got to have your middle initial. Not only they've got to have DF as their initials, L's got to be their middle initial. So as a sales proposition, you actually want DF1.
I'm struggling because I've got two middle names. So
yeah, but
Thomas George Leslie Shanklin. It's not Leslie, but someone doctored my
TS1 you'd need. TS1.
That'd be cheap. Yeah, yeah. Go for that.
Anyway, we're not doing it anyway. We're not gonna do it, are we?
It costs more than a 4x4. Oops.
Oops.
No, I wouldn't do it. You probably will.
I'm not doing it. I just said I'm not doing it. They're such a nice investment.
You'll probably get a plate for your bike, won't you? How's that bike going for you?
Good, actually.
Yeah?
I don't ride it when it's pissing with rain, but I do ride it quite a lot. That's my electric bike he's talking about, referencing.
Do you ride something that you don't pedal?
You ride a motorbike. Do you pedal that?
No, okay.
Right, yeah. So the answer's yes. Do you ride a horse? Do you pedal a horse?
Do you know what? I hate horses.
What do you mean you hate horses?
Well, I just don't trust them because I'd go, my auntie's got a couple of horses. She's actually got one called Shanks a Lot. Or was it Shanks a Million? It's one of those. She's had both and it's done actually quite well. But I rode a horse round her paddock before and she had the reins. So I sort of go around in circles and start to gallop and I did shit myself and jump off.
Did you?
Yeah, but any time I walk behind a horse, I just
How old
think,
were you?
I think it's going
to... Don't walk behind a horse.
25. Yeah, but sometimes when you're going for a nice country brisk walk and a horse passes you, I just close my eyes thinking, oh, it's going to lash out now and kick me.
Yeah.
Killed someone that, a horse's kick.
Kicked my mate, Andy Beattie, the beast.
Yeah.
His dog got off the lead and ran into this horse thing and it bull mastiff and it kicked his dog in the head.
It's ironic.
Knocked him out, but he survived it.
It's ironic because I don't like horses, but if I could come back as an animal, I'd want to come back as a stallion.
Why?
Just like a thoroughbred stallion.
Yeah, the thing about horses is they're prey animals, aren't they? They're bloody scared and nervous all the time. I'd rather come back as an apex.
Yeah, but people are going to...
Predator.
A stallion in a breeding stable.
Oh, you want to come back for the sex?
Well, yeah, I don't know if they.
Why not just be an alpha baboon? Then you can fight and shag and not do anything else.
Because baboons are hunted by leopards. Leopards kill a lot of baboons, and it's not really nice to look at, is it? When you're a baboon and you're on all fours.
No.
It's a bit like you.
Yeah.
When you get that sweat rash.
There's a market for everything, mate.
Yeah, Pseudochrom.
Yeah. So what you been up to, Tommy? Tell me that.
What have I been up to?
What have you been up to then?
I went to watch Northampton play Gloucester the weekend up in Shanklin's Gardens.
Did you?
Yeah. Went up there with a mate.
Hang on. What mate?
Jason Williams from Bruin. He said, do you want to come up, watch the game?
So you went?
Yeah. Nothing else really on. Kids were out, so went up there. Waited for him, so I was a little bit bored, put a bet on.
Yeah.
Seven results. an Aviva Prem.
Oh yeah,
slash Pro 14.
Yeah.
So I bet on Northampton to win. I also bet on Sale to win and Leicester and a few obvious ones. But I only got 10-1 odds back. So
really?
Yeah. I thought it was gonna be huge.
On a 7-game acca.
Yeah. A little bit annoying, but it was a good game. I quite enjoyed it. Gloucester.
You sent me the ticket and said you're going to pay for a lad's night out. I did. £200 ain't going to get us very far, is it?
What's that? Food and a beer for you. But I went up there. It was good. We'll talk about the game a little bit later. But I've just been watching a lot of TV, mate. Watching...
Busy time of year, is it?
SAS.
Oh, yeah.
Who Dares Wins.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Fox. Foxy. Our mate.
Foxy.
I've met him once.
Our best mate.
I met him once at a Robert Walters gig we did in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good, isn't it?
Lovely fella. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant show, that, because it's not just macho bullshit, is
no,
it?
No, and I'd like to see how strict they are with them off air. I presume they're in character for the whole of it, because that's what I would do, method act. But
is that what you're doing now?
I couldn't believe, yeah, just putting it on. All I want to do is sit in a dark room. I couldn't believe how many blokes just pulled out after
day one,
halfway through the beasting.
I know.
But then if you had 20 blokes that were really mental tough, no one would pull out, so they'd all be winners. So you need weak people like you in there, otherwise you never whittle it down to one.
Like me. So when we did our they said you were the weakest, and actually out of the whole squad, there were 44 of us, and we did stress testing at the end. And
we've
at the end,
spoken about this.
And there were three people left standing out of 44 or 45. Who were the three people left standing right at the end? At the end of 7 brutal days. The worst days ever, weren't they? They actually were the worst. It's the worst camp I've ever went on by a mile.
Yeah.
Who were the three left standing at the end of the stress test?
Chris Chesney.
No.
I don't know.
Richard Hill.
Yes.
Kevin Sorrell.
Yes.
David Flatman.
Yeah.
That's why I got 8 caps, okay?
Yeah, but I want people to think I'm weak, but then when they meet me, they think, wow, he is strong. He must have a Mr. Strong mug at home.
World's strongest dad ring.
Guilty.
I tell you, it's interesting because as I was watching it the other night, the SAS thing, watching these guys drop out, I was thinking...
What about the boxer that looks a bit like you, number 4, that's all I know him as.
Anything like me, you've got a shaved head.
No, he's stretched, a stretched version of you.
Yeah, okay.
Similar upbringing. So had performance enhancing drugs.
Yeah, I know. What am I put? So he...
He had asthma like you as well.
Okay. So it got me thinking about that ride across Britain that John O'Groats to Land's End that I did a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Very, very tough. Very, very tough indeed. But what was fascinating about it was I remember riding up these hills, fucking slowly, it's got to be said, but I'm a terrible cyclist. I'm not built for it, and I'm way too heavy, and I've got no engine, so I'm not built for it at all, and I hadn't ridden a bike properly before. But I remember going up these hills... And never getting off my bike to push my bike up. Never rode every single metre of that ride. Never walked a metre, right? So we did all, 900, nearly 1,000 miles, whatever it was, in 9 days. Very, very unpleasant.
Good effort.
But I remember watching people who were, half my size or less, experienced cyclists, great gear, all the bikes, all that sort of stuff, and cycled all the time, and you could tell they were really good at what they did, really high average speeds over the course of the week. You could see, I watched these people crumble around me, so I am riding my bike just slightly faster than walking pace, but I'm overtaking them as they're walking their bikes up the hill. These people are crumbling around me, and I remember finding it absolutely fascinating, because it's like, these guys are a million times better equipped to do this than me, but they have never been... As a rugby player, you go to some pretty tough places. They've never been there. So how do they know?
They don't know how far they can push themselves.
Yeah, it's not actually their fault. They don't know. They don't know how far you can push yourself. And it was like people at the top of these hills, I'm not going to sound like a bellend now, they were like, I cannot believe you did that. It's amazing you did that. And I was like, it's not amazing that I did that. There's no one trying to stop me doing it.
The average person, apparently, it's only something like they only push themselves to 60% of what they actually can achieve before their body shuts down. But they don't know that. Do they? So
no one knows that. So
until you're actually pushed that hard.
Yeah, it's like the stuff we've done before, the camps we've done. You feel like you're going to your absolute limit, and you are close to it. But your bodies, you actually don't break down. Like, I haven't been hospitalised.
No, it's the mind that breaks down first.
Yeah, fascinating. Watching these guys break, and watching them try and deal with it. The worst thing was watching them try and deal with it afterwards when we got back to camp and at the end of the ride and seeing people since.
Mm.
People cannot, they cannot rationalise the fact that they gave up. They cannot say, I just gave up. And it's like, I don't care if you gave up or not, but you did give up.
Yeah,
you know?
They say that, they were saying that in the SAS Who Dares Wins, weren't they? They were saying, you regret this because 24 hours later when you've rested and you know, you've slept, you reflect and you think, actually, it wasn't that tough. I could have stayed on. I could have done more.
Could do it, yeah. That's why...
I like the twins in it, though.
Yeah, they're good, aren't they? They're in
like
Nick's.
Nick's super competitive mind.
Yeah.
Well, one is...
Yeah, Matt.
Yeah.
Number 10.
I think he's... Yeah, it seems to be a little bit of jealousy there between him and his brother. He's a little bit bigger,
there, isn't there?
A little bit fitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's interesting, though.
But it's one of those things that... I was talking to someone about this the other night, and I'm not fit, as you know. I'm a fat bastard and way too heavy. But I know that if I had to, I could get out of this car now and run a marathon. It would be very, very slow. But I know that I wouldn't stop. It would take me a week. But you just get it done. It wouldn't be any major feat. It would just, you would go and get it done, you know. So, but people don't know. I think people think they're mentally weak, but they just haven't ever... In rugby, you just, it's not optional, is it? You just arrive, and if you're a good player, you get picked for a good team, a better team, and then you turn up one day, and they say, this is the session we're doing, and you think, shit, that sounds hard. And you get to a point where you can't, now and again someone will pull out, but you don't, what, you can't pull out, because everyone's struggling, and you get to the end, and you think, shit, I just did that.
I did.
That was all right.
Did spin on Monday, right, 6:30 a.m.
Same thing, exactly the same
I'm
thing.
An early starter.
SAS, yeah.
Went in at 6 o'clock to do a bit of weights before with my mate, James Rainbird, the Wolf.
Yeah,
and he's been on at me about trying to get him fit for ages. Did a couple of bit of chest and a bit of chins. Mm. Then we did some arms. Didn't want to finish the arm circuit. Nope. That's enough for me. I'm off. Didn't want to push himself. I've binned him now. He's no longer my training partner.
Hey,
he doesn't even listen to this, but someone will tell him.
Hey, bro, got back on the weights yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, back garden, 4 sets of bench, 4 sets of bent over rows.
Okay, nice.
Not a lot, but it's enough for me.
How many reps are you doing?
Honestly, mate, I am just weak as piss.
Really?
I haven't been this weak. I'm not sure I've ever been this week since I was 15.
You can still squat over 200, though, can't you? KG.
Yeah, but I can do that anyway.
Yeah.
But I did 4 sets of 12.
Ooh, good.
Which is too much. I'm going to do a few weeks of 12s and then 10s.
But the higher, yeah. The more reps you do, the more... fat you burn, because it's harder on your body. Like, heavy weights are good, but it's a lot harder to do sets of 12 than say sets of 4 on a heavy weight.
Powerlifters are fat.
Yeah,
that's why powerlifters are fat. Yeah, but yeah, so I did a bit, just try and get a bit of a base going before going heavy. But
here's a question for you.
I was
now,
really struggling.
Eddie Hall, world's strongest man, right? Now, similar dap to you. He's obviously bigger than you, but
much bigger than me.
But same sort of body shape, I would say. You know, quite rounded around the sort of equator. Was it Pudzianowski?
Pudzianowski.
Ripped.
Yeah.
Completely ripped.
Yeah.
Now, say it again.
Pudzianowski.
Would he be able to compete in his prime now?
It depends on the events. So
okay.
His static strength was exceptional, but was very, very good, obviously. But it was his
speed.
It was his power. Mobility and explosive power that really... So the events... didn't need to suit him. He was very, very dominant. The Dominator, they called him. But Eddie Hall is about static strength. So you get him in a running event and he won't win. There's, you know, out of the 6 events or whatever there are, if 3 of them are running events, he won't win World's Strongest Man. He'd be less likely to. But when it's actually about strength, which is what I think it should be about, he wins. And could he compete with Eddie Hall on strength? No, he couldn't.
Okay.
But... it's not. It's kind of not about that. It's like saying, could Mike Gibson compete with Ma Nonu? It's not the centres, but it's kind of like, well, it's all relative, and you know, and it's like, look at you or look at me and say, well, you haven't played for 5 years, you couldn't compete with these guys, dead right. But pretty soon, we'll be looking at the Joe Marlers and the John Davises and those guys, and we'll be 10 years from now. They will be last generation players. What we're looking at now, 10 years from now, will be outdated versions of what we're now seeing. You know, so it's just evolution. So it's kind of, my point is, it's a non-question.
It's food for thought.
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Can't remember now. I commentated on Bath against...
yeah, you did.
Worcester against Bath.
That I enjoyed was, that. I did like your correction of a rap singer to rappers. And then the street talk you had after.
Yeah, just dropped a bro in there. Yeah. But that's who I am now.
Yeah. Maidstone, isn't it?
Yeah, I tell you what I was doing this morning, apart from walking me dogs, I was talking to a mate of mine called Stu Maddox. We called him the crazy cow. Yeah? Get it?
No.
Very bright guy from Liverpool. That's not an oxymoron. Moron being the operative word. Joke. He's a very bright guy, and he does loads of amazing stuff. But he's got this thing going. And this is not a plug because I'm not part of this business, and this is not I'm not on commish. But I really now and again you hear something and you think this is really really interesting, and I'm not going to do it justice here. But it's called Curriculo, as in curriculum, but Curriculo,
yes.
And it's basically him and another lady and some other people who have worked in and around the education system for a long time and really really want to make a difference, right? So it's basically this modular learning thing. So it's an online platform. It's kind of like a contemporary version of Open University, but it's kind of easier to get your head around because there aren't vast pieces of work to do and that sort of stuff. But you pay 100 quid, which is sod all, but you imagine being a rugby player, 24, 25. This is how it resonates with me, and thinking, shit, what am I going to do? So rugby players are worried about what they're going to do when they finish, and if they're not, they bloody well should be, because it's very difficult, right?
Wise up.
Wise up, stay in school. But you pay your 100 quid, and you can, in a modular fashion, you go through, and you basically work through one module at a time, and you effectively upskill yourself, make yourself more employable with this really, really nicely put together, online platform. My phone's just ringing. Sorry, online platform thingamajig bobby. But you end up further down the line actually far more employable, better suited, more skill, that sort of stuff. And it's just, there are lots of different ways to do this, but this is a really good way to do it. So I was just talking to a couple of people about that this morning, and there are some people that are quite keen to get involved from the rugby world and the military world and that sort of stuff. But
so presumably, you know, it's for all ages as well, so people later on in life can do it, people at an early stage of their careers can do it.
Yeah, but there are modules for kids. Like, you can go to kids' schools, and it's not like, right, let's teach a 9-year-old how to be an IT consultant or a programmer. It's all relative, and there are products for kids. There are products for, and eventually there will probably be a transition product, which will be for retiring athletes, or it will be for, you know, people leaving the military and that sort of stuff. And the reasons I like it, it appealed to me when I thought back to what I was feeling when I was 25 and a rugby player, thinking, well, I'm good at this now, but shit, what am I going to do? And it just would alleviate a lot of that fear.
Yeah.
But also, it's about, you know, we're sitting opposite a petrol station. You know, what if there's a 17-year-old, 18-year-old working in there who didn't do his A-levels and dropped out, and he's kind of going to muddle along a bit, but that's all right, but he could do better. He can just pay 100 quid, which is fuck all compared with a lot of, you know, things like university, and he can actually really really upskill himself and make, you know, give himself, improve his prospects hugely. But it's just really nicely done, and I don't know, I really liked it. So
I mean, he could be like Michael from Alan Partridge working a petrol station.
Precise.
Season two.
So I liked it, and again, this is not a plug, but it's one of those things. I'm interested to talk to the RFU's head of academies and the WIU's head of academies and say, I'm not an expert on this, I actually don't know what I'm talking about, but here's a link, here's my mate Stu, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
And these people actually want to help, they actually want to make a difference, and it may end up being a massive global business, or it may not, but whatever, these people have got their own jobs from which they do very well.
Yes.
This is just, they actually want to help people who don't have enough help.
Presumably, this is part of your 3-year plan for an MBE, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking about like starting a foundation, like the Flats Foundation, flats for the people or something. And I just wonder how much money have you got to earn before you get a knighthood?
Ask Alan Sugar. Oh, I haven't told you about this, have I?
Don't know yet. Don't know what it is, do I?
No.
If you haven't told me.
I was in Asda.
Yeah.
And the whole shop shut down. I was getting some sandwiches, some lunch.
Oh, nice sandwiches in Asda, were they?
Yeah, they're right, actually.
Doubtful.
No, yeah, they're okay. Right. Anyway, over by the sandwiches, there's a package on the floor.
Yeah.
And it had a sandwich on top of it, and no one claimed the package. So they shut the whole shop down, and I was next to it, and the guy was speaking to me on the tannoy, saying...
it's not a tannoy, it's a public address. Public address. Tannoy's a brand.
He's saying, can you see anything strange on it? I was like, well, there's a couple of wires and stuff around the side. And he went, is it ticking? I went, no, it's turkey.
Oh, fucking hell.
Talking about the sandwich. Yeah, so that happened to me. Obviously, that was an entirely made-up, fabricated story.
What a mate.
But, yeah.
That's like the vet one, only not quite.
Yeah, I know, but...
You can't do them every week.
There's not a million great jokes out there, is there? Well, there probably is a million great jokes, but... No, you've got to be selective in the ones you use.
Yeah, were you selective today?
No, just sort of it there and then.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I've been doing some stuff. Kind of forgotten. I went out for dinner last night with a couple of mates in Bath, actually.
Okay.
M-O-R, Moors, I call them. Mates outside rugby.
Yeah.
They're called Nick and Alex, and they're two of the... Nick is especially obnoxious and posh. Alex is pretty obnoxious and posh.
But so both, all but three mean, of you get on well?
No, but they both mean well. They okay. mean well.
Yeah.
But we had a nice date. You've been to Hudson in Bath?
No.
Truffle cheese chips. Oh, God.
Really?
Yeah, God, last thing my body needed. I had dreams last night. I won't go into it, but I had dreams. I was on meat before bed. I had a big steak there, and I had dreams last night of actually, weirdly, being in a car with Austin Healey, but also being terminally ill due to meat consumption, and that's not actually a joke.
No. You eat a lot of meat.
I do quite a lot. I don't think I eat a crazy amount.
Really?
Don't think so. I haven't had any meat yet today, and it's midday.
Right outside Burger King. There's no chance we're driving away from here.
No, I'm not going in there.
Really?
No, not going in there.
New Year's resolution, is there?
No. It's my dream last night's freaked me out. I'll be eating meat again by tonight. But I'm going to have some quinoa or something for lunch.
Okay, yeah.
Good find a Marks and Spencer's and get ripped off, probably.
Out of a box of kale. So, Leo Vegas, bet of the week. Well done, Dave. Came in last week.
God, those lucky kids, eh? Kids, you're welcome if you're listening to this.
Bath v Worcester. I think you went Bath minus 15.
No, 5, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't even know, mate. Anyway, your bet came in. Well done.
Thanks.
Hammered Worcester in the end.
Yeah.
Decent game. I quite enjoyed it. This week, we are going to bet on the Champions Cup, Ospreys versus Saracens.
Go on,
now,
then.
It's at 7:45.
Got to be a Sarries
Saturday.
Win.
It's got to be a Sarries win. They're back. I'm going Sarries by 15 points or more against the Ospreys.
Wow.
I think they'll be way too good.
Wow.
So jump on that. All the proceeds go to Children in Need. Make sure you're over 18. Terms and conditions do apply.
Mm.
And, you know, enjoy it.
Bet what you can, not what you cannot. Let's do it.
Yep.
Let's do a rugby chat.
Let's do rugby.
Let's do a rugby
chat. Can we start with Sonotty Sonotty's try, please, for Newcastle?
And he had a cold at the weekend.
Didn't he? And a sore throat.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was drinking loads.
Double cold.
Had a lot of green tea before. Caffeine free.
Yeah.
What a try. What footwork that was.
Oh, jokes.
Was it James?
James Short.
Short.
How about James Short's wheels to catch him, mind? Very quick, but still.
You always find the positives, don't you?
A bit of proper ankle breaker, that, wasn't it?
His agility.
Oh.
And his... I don't know, what's on that? That would be like your adductor muscles, wouldn't it? To be able to push from left to right.
Yeah.
To get
brutal.
On the outside, it was an amazing try. Filthy try.
Brutal footwork.
Dirty. We've all been in that position.
No, I haven't.
But he just properly tucks him up and has the pace to finish as well. Yeah.
What a game from Newcastle. Just fantastic.
Gonover on the other wing as well.
For anyone who is listening, who's a Newcastle fan, if you're one of the people that tweeted me saying you were disappointed that we didn't do more of a review on your game, just like Gary Lineker does on Match of the Day, but only far less important, I don't write the running order. I don't decide what order the games go in. So can we stop the abuse, please?
Can you put your phone up with the results so I can go through some of the questions? Are you able to do that?
What do you mean?
Well, can you do what I've done with my phone so I can look through some of the Twitter questions so we can incorporate them into our match review? Is that possible?
Yeah, how do I do that? BBC Sport, is it?
Yeah. Jeez.
I'm not very good at this.
Well, you're pretty good on your phone. You're always on it. But it wasn't so much a surprise, I think, Newcastle beating Exeter.
You didn't feel surprised by that?
No, not at all. I just think Newcastle...
25 points. I've been fab. Three at half time.
I've been fab this season.
You must have been quite surprised by...
By what?
The half time score. 20, was it 25-3?
No. After the result, I wasn't surprised Newcastle beat Exeter. I know Exeter are top and the champions, yeah. But Newcastle, with their wingers, their back three, it just, whatever they're doing, it's just clicking, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're full of confidence as well. It's a tough place to go
drop
and play.
Sorry.
It's cold, obviously, like everywhere
it's up
is.
North. It's up
windy.
North. It's up north.
Very, very windy.
It's up north, yeah.
But fantastic.
Oh, it's brilliant. They were good for it. They had a... I like Rob Baxter's Dave interview Walder. Afterwards. Not too panicky, but
he never panics, though, does he?
No, they were great.
You're not going to go through the whole season winning every game. There's going to be blips, isn't there? There's going to be games that you don't quite perform.
Yeah.
But every time Exeter lose, the following week they put it right.
Yeah, so that was brilliant for Newcastle. Really enjoyed that. The Wasps, the Worcester Bath game.
Yes,
was I thought a really good game. Mm. So Bath. Infinitely more intense at the breakdown, way better at ball carrying. Thought Zach Mercer was really good again. The second rows really stood up. Stuke and Phillips. See Phillips try at the end where he boshed off Pennell. Brutal, wasn't it? Old school.
He's a big bloke, isn't he, Phillips?
Yeah.
How old is he?
He is 44 now.
Looks it.
Yeah.
He looks it. No, it was a very
don't
good.
Know how old he is.
Poor missed tackles at the start, but mate, you've got no chance against someone like that, have you? Really?
No,
well, you do, there is a chance, yeah. I mean, look, he
that was shoddy defence.
He could have been
it,
taken
but
down, yeah.
But
it's hard to stop a 20-plus stoner running at you if 3 metres out.
Yeah, I like the fact that Chris Pennell actually went for the big hit instead of just soaking him up and conceding the try. At least he went for it, you know, didn't bottle it.
Nice try for a second row to score, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a question here from Stedders. If I was in Chris Pennell's shoes with James Phillips running, marauding towards him, would he have sat the big lump down?
If you were.
It's hard, isn't it? Because when you're in that position, right, so close to the line, often you try and go high and you try and grab them and just try and get underneath the ball.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do that when they're running with such momentum, or you just try and go low and stop them. So I don't think many people would be able to stop him. You've got to stop, when you're that close to your line, you've got to stop size with size, basically. So, you know.
Do you reckon you'd have stopped him?
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
Do you actually reckon you'd have stopped him?
No. No, probably not. You probably got a 15% chance of stopping him
15?
There.
15?
Yeah.
That's quite precise. I'd back you there.
Really?
Yeah.
15%?
I'd back you to stop him there.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, it was good. Anthony Watson again. Loves his footwork, love his pace.
Yeah, what an athlete.
I know.
But
he runs a lot. You see a lot of Jason Robinson in him. I know they're different sizes and shapes, but his stop and go and his stuttery feet, I suppose.
Yeah.
Is very, very Jason Robinson-esque, isn't it?
It's hard to compare anyone to Jason Robinson because there'll probably never be another one.
No,
and there wasn't
won't.
Anyone, but you know, he was kind
but
of
he
freaky.
Runs like him. Even
but
though
in terms of fullback play, Wasps against Saracens at the Rico on Sunday, Alex Good was out of this world. He was out of this world, might be pushing it, but he was so good. His kicking, his running, his high ball work, his handling, his inventiveness, his consistency, his speed. He was just brilliant. He was just brilliant. And it's funny because, you know, Mike Brown gets the oft maligned Mike Brown. You know, people rarely, I don't know, it's a funny one because people just seem to... have written off Alex Good now, scored two tries at the weekend. People seem to have written him off as an England fullback, and I just think...
No, I think he's
too good
off.
To have written off. He's too good.
I agree with you, mate. I think he's amazing. But he just doesn't fit the bill, does he? His face does not fit, whichever way you look at it, for England. So
no, we've chatted about this before, haven't we?
I think it has to, but you know, it's great for Saracens because he plays every week.
I tell you what, Michael Rhodes.
I know, I was about to mention.
He qualifies for England soon.
I know.
I tell you what, there is a very good chance he'll be playing for England because he is a really big, abrasive, skillful guy. And I reckon Eddie Jones would really like him at six. Mind you, if he doesn't like Don Armand, why would he like Michael Rhodes?
Courtney Laws, possibly play six as well.
Yeah, but it's just an option. I wouldn't be surprised if
he's got a cap. But we said, like, Wasps were were amazing the week before. This week against Saracens, the way to stop them, slow their ball down, slow their breakdown down. Billy Villapola, Rhodes and Berger, Anatoji.
Yeah.
You know, they're just, they're class in that contact area. Yeah. Did you see Billy Villapola from a standing start?
Yeah.
Bust through the two, it was two forwards as well. It was Tom Youngs and I think it was
Gaskell.
Mm.
I think it was.
I think if it was a one-on-one tackle, if it was, believe in a polar run into say either one of those, they might have stopped him. But they sort of took each other out a little bit. Yeah. He went straight through the middle from a standing start.
Very, very powerful, wasn't it?
Very powerful. But to make such an impact and have such an influence in a game after being out for a long time.
Yeah. And Mako's only been out 4 weeks. He's only been out 4 weeks. But jeepers, he looked good. Like
he did, and they,
he's.
And,
He's actually, I don't know quite what the word is. I think I said he was majestic on the telly. It's probably not the right word. He's just, for someone who's so big and abrasive and brutal, he's kind of elegant, you know? Yeah. Like, he's just moves so perfectly and he's so well put together. And
when Saracens were down to 13 men, Wasps scored a nice try. I think it was LaRue that scored, but they didn't score enough. They didn't score enough points when they were down. They Wasps also then lost both centres. So, who had to come on? Armitage come on early doors at 12.
Yeah, went off, didn't he?
Miller came on at 13.
Their injury list is brutal at the moment.
It is brutal.
It's a proper excuse, that, because they got hardly anyone fit.
They miss Nathan Hughes as well, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, Nizam Carr's brilliant, but he missed Nathan Hughes. Moving on.
Let's.
Moving on, Tom. See Joe Marler's red card?
Yes, I did.
What do you reckon? Are you angry with him? Are you angry with him, Tom? Are you upset with him?
Call me old-fashioned, but I didn't think that was a red card.
Oh, Christ. Here we go.
Sorry.
You think the game's gone soft because you don't care about players' brains. So full of shit.
It's not a red card, mate. It's too soft for me. I don't know. I look at that and I know in the terms of the law that is a red card.
Right, but it's not. Yeah.
No, it's the correct decision in terms of law. But I just, from playing the game for all these years, finishing and now watching it, it's soft yellow. That shouldn't be a soft red. It shouldn't be a red card in terms of law. I think that's a yellow. Stupid, but I look at it. Does that really deserve a red card? No, is my opinion. And
sure,
it was the right call to send him off as a red, but I find it hard to watch games now.
What I like about your argument so far on that is that you have acknowledged that your opinion is different from fact. So I think that you are evolving as a human being. Well done.
Thank you, mate. What do you think?
I know, you're less like Trump than you used to be.
It's a red card, but
it's definitely a red card. And for me, it's one of those things that.
Because who was it? Who was the Sale player that he?
TJ Ioane.
Yeah, Ioane. So apparently Ioane's been cited for 5 minutes earlier for.
Yeah, there's a couple in the game. They're not as bad as that, but it's right in front of the ref. It's a shoulder directly to the head. He's not even near the ball. It's just silly when you know the laws, and they do know the laws.
Yeah, they do.
And they know
the
current climate and the environment, and it'll cost Quinns because he's such a good player. It'll cost England. I said this on the telly, so if you watch that too, apologies for repeating myself, but. I know Mako is an absolute superstar, but for me, Marler was absolutely first choice for the Six Nations. He has been in brilliant form the last few weeks, and he's such a good loose head.
But if I'm talking about England, and I'd probably say that you get more out of Mako for England because England do like to play a lot of phase plays, and Mako is so much better ball in hand. I'm so much more comfortable ball in hand. So you can run a lot of decoys and phase plays off Mako because he's such a skillful player, which you lack with Marler. You can't, same with Cole, you can't really do much with Cole. You know, they're there to scrum, to carry, to hit. They're good over the breakdown. But in terms of trying to create and trying to score tries and narrow defenders, Mako's way better.
Yeah,
but no, that's a choice they've got to make.
Yes, choice. I think Joe's been so good that you'd bring Mac off the bench for half an hour when everyone's a bit tired and all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, I think it was just knowing the laws and how they're being interpreted these days and punished these days. It was a crazy thing to do. But
James Bradbury's just asked, moving back onto Alex Good. What does he have to do to get into England?
Good. He doesn't like Good. He likes Good.
Good. Outstanding again for Saris at weekend.
Yeah, we read that. I mean, it's a real odd one. That it's not odd. We've explained it. I mean, he's a playmaker, and they like their second playmaker at 12, not 15. You know, the opposite of Saris. So there you go. Hang on, go back up. We're just having a look at. Hang on, what's that?
Read it out, mate.
Tell you what, London Irish were good.
Yes.
Yeah, Leicester weren't great, and Matt O'Connor said they need a full reset.
Oh, I think it was just a massive weight off their shoulders just for a win.
You know, there's been chat going around. I'm not going to say which Twitter account it was because I've forgotten, it could be wrong, but there's rumours going around that the entire coaching staff were getting sacked at Leicester Tigers this week.
There's chat of Jordan Murphy going to Cardiff Blues.
Yeah, heard that.
Being head coach.
But there's also chat of him going to Ulster, apparently. But there's chat of the whole Leicester Tigers. No way, they're not all getting sacked. No way.
There's no consistency there, is there?
No way, they ain't getting sacked.
Johnny May good again?
Surely not. Yeah, he was good at the back, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he's rapid.
He is. He's rapid. He's got like crazy legs when he runs, but...
I still wonder if Charlie Walker's not quicker. I bet it'd be close.
You'd love to see a race, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. We should arrange it. We should get going on Twitter and...
But anyway,
By the way, Aloffa was amazing for Quinns.
Yeah, Northampton, really, really Northampton, Gloucester. I was there. Northampton started off really well.
Yeah,
With Malander at 10, involved in loads. I reckon in the first sort of 10 minutes, they come out scoring first. But Gloucester were good. It was Gloucester's game, really. They just a few mistakes. They missed a few kicks at goal. Did you see Owen Williams' offload?
To John Arfoa.
Yeah,
absolute filth.
He has a little look when he goes through, just a tiny one. He sees a shirt, as a no-look pass over
the
shoulder.
Very special.
Good signs for Wales because he obviously featured a lot at 12 in the autumn campaign. Be interesting to see what they do now because we've also got Josh Adams. Rob Howley was down at Worcester, watching Josh Adams, very, very quiet game, probably his quietest game he's had. He had one big run at the start, then he didn't see him, he saw a lot of Bryce Heame. But Northampton, that was just desperation for them to win. Now,
Bryce Heame's so good, by the way.
He is good, yeah. I agree.
So strong.
Now, I saw you talking about it, and I saw the highlights show about the penalty try at the end to Northampton.
Let me guess, I'm wrong again.
I couldn't see too much wrong with that. You couldn't see clear grounding of the ball.
It's not it. It's the collapsing of the mall that he's given the penalty try for.
Yeah, but I think had there been a clear grounding of the ball, he just would have given a try.
Yeah, but he didn't.
No.
So he said that Simmons has come in and collapsed, which is absolute... He's just nowhere near it. Simmons is just... He shoulders Hayward as he goes to the floor. He's just nowhere near it in the mall. So he's penalised 12. It's just... I could definitely be wrong. I find it just the most bizarre penalty try. I watched it and I just couldn't see anything. Equally, I think Benny Kay is adamant that it was a penalty try, so I'll talk to him about it when I see, because maybe he saw something I didn't, which happens, of course it does.
Northampton lose Burrell pretty early doors.
Yeah.
It's hard to, because he's such a big influence for Northampton because he's so big and he puts big hits in the defence when you run at him. He also gets them over the gain line. To lose a player like that,
he's your midfield momentum, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. He's like your Brad Barrett of Northampton.
Yeah.
So that was a
PC's try was lovely. The way they worked that down the right, that didn't look like a team with no confidence.
No, that was
really
right at the start. That was Malander running the show there. But they make loads of errors, and you watch them think, and you want them to do well because there's such bad press behind them at the moment, and they're quite low down. And you want them to play well, but you're kicking a ball out on the full, you know, from nine. You're missing touch with Malander. You're giving away silly penalties. It just must infuriate the coaches.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a good game. I enjoyed it. I was there, obviously, at the game, and someone from Love Island was up in the lounge after.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's Chris Hughes. He's a Gloucester supporter, and he was there in a lounge, and he was made to go up on stage.
Was he?
Neck a few shots. They mentioned him in the room.
Was he good looking?
They didn't mention me in the room.
Didn't they?
No.
Not
till the very end. I don't know if they knew who it was.
What the flipping heck?
Yeah. But I had to go have a word in the MC.
You got 70 caps, mate.
I had to go have a word in the MC ear and say, you know I'm here, mate.
Yeah. I'm surprised you weren't snapping necks in there, mate.
Make sure you announce me. but enjoyed it. I've been back to Northampton for years.
Yeah. It's a good spot. Good atmos.
It is a good atmos.
Yeah.
Bang in the centre of Northampton.
It's good. I like it up there. Let's tell you what, Tommy. Do you want to have a break? And then we'll go and get a Costa and then we'll come back and do some questions.
Okay, boy.
All right. Got a load of questions this week, mate. Great, mate. Okay. Shall I start?
Yeah, if you want.
Here's one, an email from Alex Davies. If I may, if you were each to take a sabbatical year, i.e. you don't need to work for 1 year to put food on the table, how much rugby would you actually watch over that time? That is a really good question, I think.
I quite like rugby, mate. I've not fallen out of love with a sport. I don't watch it. I watch it as a fan. I don't really take too much notice of it because I can dip in and out because I'm not analysing it as much as, say, someone like you would. So I'm not looking for instances. I'm not looking for faults. I'm not looking for positives. So I'd watch it when I can. I still enjoy watching it. I mean, I may turn it off and may watch something else if I think it's a bit of a rubbish game.
Mm.
But I quite like going, and I go a fair bit to watch the Blues because I like it socially.
Do you?
Yeah. So I like to go there. There's a good community there. There's a good business community there. There's a lot of mates there. So
yeah.
I would.
Yeah, I don't. It's an interesting question because I got my mate Alex at dinner last night asked me the same thing, weirdly. And no, he didn't. He did, basically. He said, are you actually a rugby pig? Because I heard you during the game on Friday night say something like you really enjoyed it, like you're really passionate about it and it was great. And I just wondered if that was real or if you were faking it a bit for the TV. But the truth is, I would watch loads of rugby, but I don't like watching rugby like you like watching it. I don't like the social bit. I like to be on my own. So the way I watch it, maybe I'm analysing, maybe I'm just thinking things to myself, I'm not analysing. I like watching rugby on my own, on telly. I don't particularly like... I like watching games live. I don't dislike it. But if I wasn't working, I wouldn't go to many live games.
Is that because you have to concentrate though? Because you have to think of points to mention, or
yeah, but that's what I enjoy because I talk a lot, as you know, and I've always got something to say. So this gives me that I'm thinking of things I will
say. You want to come to rugby with me and my mates, mate? We just have a laugh and a joke around and take the piss, and we're dipping out of the games. Oh, there's a try. Oh,
yeah,
there's a big hit.
Yeah, I don't enjoy that. I've done it loads. I don't enjoy that.
All right.
I don't like that really.
You've changed, mate.
I do that, but I like watching. I would watch rugby. Would I watch every Friday, Saturday, Sunday? I don't do that now. You know, I have to catch up early in the week because I've got a family. So I don't. If I'm not at home, you know, if I've got one day at home at a weekend, me sitting down 3 till 6 to watch rugby doesn't go down brilliantly all the time. So
can you?
If I had the option, I would watch Friday, Saturday, Sunday most weeks probably.
You're on the cusp of being very boring now, and I might have to defriend you. So we'll move on.
Yeah, fine. yeah. I understand fully.
Someone on Twitter.
Who?
PH Walker. Walker.
Walker.
He's gone about so many coaches and young players obsessed with nutrition. Does it really matter for rugby? Or were players like Thauthau, Bassero, Waldrop just genetic freaks able to play?
It really, really, really matters. It absolutely matters hugely. Without question. That question. So there and again, there'll be guys that don't have to bother who are good enough. But someone like Bastereau, you can't tell me he wouldn't be better if he had 8% less body fat. He'd still be 16.5 stone. He would be a better player if you know, he's very good as he is. Fine, but
yeah, okay, that works for say the players that are overweight. But yeah. What about the players that aren't overweight? Does nutrition really matter for your average size rugby player?
Yeah.
It does to an extent, but it's not the be-all end-all. You still see players carrying timber.
Yeah.
It's supposed how you carry it. You know, you've got to be able to carry it and still be able to move and run and function. But no, it's not the be-all end-all. I mean, the biggest thing is, you know, you have to have the top 2 inches, I suppose. You have to have that drive mixed with skill. I think that's more important than having nutrition.
Absolutely, but if you've got two talented guys, the one who takes care of himself has taken care of better care of himself over the last 5 years in terms of what he's put in his body will be in a better place.
You know, always do something what you know your opposite number isn't doing. You know,
that's what Daley Thompson used to say. Isn't
is it?
That's why he trained.
What
on
can
Christmas
you be
Day.
Doing that they aren't?
He trained on Christmas Day. Then he was like
Lightly Halfpenny.
Yeah, Did he really?
Yeah, he kicks on Christmas Day.
No, he doesn't.
He does. He goes signing.
Oh my God. So anyway, Daley Thompson trained on Christmas Day, and then he thought my competitor might have trained, so he trained again. And they said that's what my competitors would have done, so he trained three times on Christmas Day.
Arnie used to do it as well, if you've seen Pumping Iron.
Of course he did. Of course he bloody did.
I know.
I say nutrition is massively important. That's what I say to you now.
We haven't really touched on this. You've talked about Joe Marler. Alex Skitt on Twitter wants to know, can Joe Marler or Kyle Sinclair be trusted in an England shirt with their discipline issues?
Oh, for God's sake. Joe Marler's got 50-odd caps. Have you not been watching? What, can Dylan Hartley be trusted? He's going to hit 100 caps soon.
Do you reckon he's going to be captain?
It's such a shit question, mate. No disrespect. It's a shit question.
Is Dylan Hartley going to be captain in the Six Nations?
Yeah. But it's a shit question, mate, because I know they're ill-disciplined. They have get bans and stuff like that. But how many times have they been banned while they're playing for England or sent off? He's got 50-odd caps and he's in his 20s.
Yeah, but you wouldn't say he's a first. He's not a starter. He's not someone.
Joe Marler.
He's not established as he is our number one loose head.
Tommy, he's got something. Say he's got 53 caps. 40-odd of those are starts. 44 starts. Mm. Right. Well, so he might not be out and out first choice right now, but he has started vastly way more games than his bench. So
if it's a choice over him or Mako, are they going to go with the one that's got better discipline or?
How's his discipline for England? If he keeps coming on for England and giving away loads of penalties or getting banned, that might start to piss Eddie Jones off. I mean, it probably pisses him off anyway, but it's just, for God's like.
Mate, your argument's not with me, it's with Alex Skitt. Alex Shit. Skitt.
It's joking, just like, Alex. Can Dylan Hartley be trusted to play for England? People say it all the time. He's got near enough 90 caps. Yes, he can be trusted to play for England.
I'm not sure if Alex Skitt could be a male or a female.
Obvious question. Bullshit.
Can you see his or her legs? Yeah.
I feel like I've been really aggressive to this guy now.
A little bit.
Girl, Alex. I'm sure you are a lovely person. But that question gets asked all the time. And bear in mind, Dylan Hartley hasn't. I brought him into this. Dylan Hartley and Joe Marler are not close personal friends of mine. But it's just one of those questions. It's like, you know, can you trust this person after that many red cards? It's like, yeah. You know, they're not. It's not as well disciplined as George Ford. But they've got a bit more bite to them and they let themselves down sometimes. But you're talking about players who are consistently playing 10 plus tests a year for England, year after year. Yes, you can trust them, 100%.
We get it. Thomas McPherson on Twitter says, biggest sacrifice you've had to make before, during and post-rugby career? I wouldn't do all of them. Just name your biggest sacrifice you've had to make.
Time. Social life.
Yeah,
time.
Social life. I wouldn't say anything's been a sacrifice. You just get used to it. You know, it's something you want to do. You don't want to go out with your friends because, you know, you want to make sure you're in good condition to play rugby, because ever since you've been young, your dream is to play rugby, and to get paid for it, to get paid to do what you love doing, is incredible. So I reckon around Christmas time always used to be a bit of a nightmare, because everyone's going out, all your schoolmates, all your mates out of rugby, Moors, are all hitting the town, and you've got to stay in. You've got to be careful, I always reckon, about how much you eat and what food you eat over the Christmas period, because
you
don't want to be eating like four meals of cheese, do you?
No. I think it's time, and even now, you know, I'm last weekend I was away Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and this weekend coming up, well, this week I'm leaving home on Thursday morning and I'm not back until late Thursday night, a week later, so I'm gone for a whole week.
When did you leave again, mate?
I'm Thursday to Thursday, so I'm trying to get back.
Is the kids there, or is it just Alex?
Hey?
Are the kids there as well? Or
where?
At home.
They're going to have a parent with them for most of it.
Is Alex there?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But
I might be in Bath then.
it's one of those things. I'm trying to get home on Friday night, just put the kids to bed, but otherwise I'm gone.
You've had bull. Do you want the calf?
Oh, by the way, someone said, can you, what is it? Someone said, yeah, so I don't, you know, don't necessarily mind that, and I don't often go away for a week at a time. Someone has said, Guy Evans, who sends us loads of messages, he's a right keno, but we like him. Guys, can you please have Shanks' daughters on as guest contributors every single week? Probably the cutest kids I've ever heard, apart from my own little angel. They were my kids, Guy. They were my kids. It was at my house. Shanks' kids are fucking brats, the pair of them. Genuinely unpleasant children.
They run
mine
the show.
Are lovely.
They
mine
run
lovely.
The show. Tom Reeves, my kids are beautiful.
All right.
Just like for an hour at a time. Tom Reeves on Twitter says, predict the Six Nations table now. Okay, mate. I'll go England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, France, Italy.
I'll go England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, France, Italy. I've already forgotten what I said, but that's what I think.
I'll go England, Ireland, Wales, Scotland, France, Italy. I think we'll beat Scotland first game up.
Here's one from Jamie Phillips on Facebook. What were your thoughts on Dragons coach Bernard Jackman taking off his props, Luke Garrett and Nicky Thomas, after just 25 minutes? Is it right to take both props off so early if they're struggling, or is there a risk of damaging player confidence? P.S. Was Flats ever given the hook after 20 minutes in his playing career? No, I was not. What do you think about that? Tugging him off after 20 minutes?
It's going to dent your confidence, isn't it? You're not even on for long. You can see the reasons why you tug him off after 40, 50 minutes, because it is obviously hard work playing at prop, and if the scrum's not going well, you might need... it's so technical that someone can make a difference, another prop can make a difference. It might be able to cope with it better. But certainly after 20, 25 minutes, you must be thinking, oh my God, a quarter of the game's gone, I'm getting pulled off. No confidence in me.
I mean, I can't imagine complaining about getting pulled off after 20 minutes of a game. It's going to damage your confidence. It's also going to motivate you and sets a message for everyone else. I like the decision, I've got to say it. I like it.
Have you seen?
Do you know what, lads? I told you to front up. You're not fronting up. Get off.
Have you seen Bernard Jackman behind the scenes?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
People gone nuts about it and said, whoa, it's brutal. It's like...
That's not.
It's not brutal. It's completely normal. If you're playing like shit and the coach says, hey, Shanks, what's that? That's shit. That's completely normal.
Do you know what I liked about it, though? It was quite funny. I found it quite funny.
When he stood up and apologised?
No, he stood up. No, they had all that. They had the bollocking. They had a guy apologise and that's not right. Yeah. And they were talking about standards and everyone's going, oh, wow, this is brilliant. They got hammered against the Scarlets.
Oh, did they? Oh, God.
Totally destroyed. Completely. It got a bit embarrassing by the end.
Oh, God.
They just don't have the quality of players. It's a bit like London Irish, I think. And as much as you
hang on, Shanks, my phone's ringing.
You might as much as you...
Hang on, mate, my phone's ringing.
Hold on.
Hi, Michelle, it's Flats. We're just doing the podcast. You know it's Flats, you rang me. We're just recording the podcast, so I'll call you afterwards, all right?
Right.
Bye.
As much as you try and... all the positive press behind the Dragons of Moriarty signing, of Hibbard signing. At the moment, currently, I personally think they do not have the quality of players good enough for the league. And I know they have injuries, but that's my view. Other teams are like that as well. But
it's going to take a while, isn't it?
It's going to take a while. But he seems to be doing a good job, and a lot of people are hearing a lot of good things coming out of the camp about Bernard Jackman.
On that meeting thing, if you haven't seen it, I think it's Wales Online put it out or republished it or something like that, but Bernard Jackman tucks into one of the players and says that is not good enough, that's bullshit, whatever it is, you're lazy. Calls a player out, and there's been this kind of mini uproar about it from what I understand, and it's one of those adjustments you have to make stepping into the real world. That is the world that we are from. That is how accountable everyone is every day, and you tell your best mates they're shit at stuff, you know, and let alone coach the player. That is completely normal.
Yep.
And you know, just like someone goes too far in training, comes offside in a mall and won't go back onside, and you punch them and there's a bit of a fight. If you do that in Burger King at the services off the M48, you're in trouble. You've got to adjust to the real world. But I landed in my version of the real world and was brutally honest about a few things with people, and it went down really, really badly because people think they want that kind of honesty. They don't. Most people do not want that. So... All the public watched that and thought, God, that's a bit harsh, calling him out in front of his mates. It's like, no. We watched that and think, that's what you do.
That's what happens.
Don't be lazy then.
Really interesting question here from Gareth Bray on Twitter. Should subs be stopped from entering the field of play to celebrate a try when they are warming up? I don't like it.
Oh my God, chill out. Who's even noticed that?
No.
Chill out, mate.
But you know when players score tries and the subs are warming up?
Yeah.
All the subs come over. I don't mind it, but... it annoys me a little bit when there's opposing players on the floor and all the subs around trying to throw the player off so they can celebrate with the try scorer. I think it's a little bit disrespectful, personally.
Oh my God, I couldn't give a toss. I don't worry about that. It's just mates celebrating with mates, building memories. Yeah,
that's fine. That's fine. Mates celebrating with mates,
making memories.
But when there's a big bundle on the floor when someone's scored and all the subs come over and you've made the tackle, you're a defending player, you're trying to get up and you can't because there's an army of subs in these massive long jackets
yeah, don't be disrespectful and crowd stand out like Sarri did last year, but didn't they? And you celebrating and standing over the opposition and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I don't like. I don't mind it if, you know, you're, as I say, there's an intercept, you come into the post, score a try, high-fiving.
So you're quite specific about your...
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I think you probably need to get over that.
One more here. Toby Elliott says on Twitter, "Haven't seen Tom Shanklin's penalty shootout versus Cardiff Blues Leicester back in 2009.
Yeah.
Where I got it.
Yeah.
Which is probably the most nervous I've ever been about anything.
Oh my God, I bet it was.
I don't know
yeah.
if we've spoken about this.
No.
We're walking down, penalty shootout. There's, the kickers are gone. Five kickers are gone from each team. It's even. I'm then the sixth player then to go
brutal. Up. Brutal.
Put myself forward. I go down there. All these
well, put yourself forward after five other lads have put themselves all forward, these, out of 15.
Well, there are yeah. five kickers in the, who actually kicked.
Right.
Okay. No, I just mess around. That was my warm-up.
Yeah, put yourself forward, one sixth.
Get down there. It's like six different tees. Don't know what to choose. Like, I was looking for one of those little plastic cones that mark out the field. Didn't yeah. have one of them.
What'd you go for?
Had sand. Went for the red Gilbert, mate. Straight through the middle. Anyway, what are you worried about? By the by, has David? Have you ever had to take a goal kick?
No.
What about in training? Like no. in games or anything like that?
Never at any level.
Remember myself and Chris Patterson tried to coach you to goal kick for Vitality?
Yeah.
And you nearly got there.
Yeah, I just don't have the...
It's very difficult to teach someone, and the golfers will know this, like when you're hitting out of a bunker or chipping. You double kick the ball.
What?
You double kicked it. Like you kick it and then you kick it again. It's like a double hit.
That hits my shin, then hits my foot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not... No, I can't. I couldn't. I've never, even under eights all the way through, never ever took a shot at goal. Never wanted to either. Didn't even bother practicing in training because it didn't interest me. Here you go. From John Clark on email, "You often talk about the physical attributes of elite players in different positions. What do you think are the best mental attributes for different positions? How do you two compare mentally against some of the greats?" Mental attributes. Well,
it's hard to say again. You know, because you don't know some of the, you don't know what the other. Ah, I'm mumbling now.
Toughness is basically it, isn't it? I mean, resilience. I always think something that I wish I'd had more of was the resilience is wrong, because it's like you know, you struggle, talk about the scrum for it, you struggle and then will I come back fighting? Yes, I will. But I see players now, like the game's changed and all that, but I remember getting properly dicked like just a handful of times, like ever. I got really dicked at the Rico once by Julian White. I struggled against him a few times, but I wasn't getting dicked. He really dicked me. And then Kobus Fisagi really dicked me once at Watford in my 100th Premiership game.
Yeah.
And I was actually injured, but I wouldn't go off because I was desperate to prove my point against him, but couldn't because I was injured. So it's vicious circle and whatever. So, but I remember being really, really affected by those awful scrums. And now I see props get battered and they don't worry about it. It's kind of like, well, this shit happens these days because so much power about. But when have I ever got... I couldn't, not to the date, but I can remember, as I just showed you, the exact games where I got dicked.
Yeah.
The exact games. I remember the exact scrums when I got dicked because there were relatively few of them, because for a lot of my career, I was reasonably strong, but also I, you know, played in an era where... We played in an era where, you know, I don't know, maybe it was harder to get dicked, don't know, whatever. It was only 5 years ago, but I got dicked by Mujati once. I could describe exactly where we were, when we were, how it happened, why it happened, you know. But there are guys now that get battered reasonably regularly and are dominant reasonably regularly and just get over it, but it used to fucking break me when it happened to me.
I reckon, like, mental toughness would be your work rate, because you work right around the field, because when it does get tough, that's when players go missing. It's about offering yourself as a runner, offering yourself as a carrier. It's about tackling, whether you're giving all in that tackle, whether you're falling off tackles, because it's always easy at the start of the game when you're fresh and you're thinking, but when the games start to go on and maybe you're losing or maybe it's tough, that's when players go missing. So
yeah.
For me, I could have been a little bit better. I was just gifted by God with this incredible strength.
Fucking hell.
You know I'm strong, mate.
Yeah, you are strong. You are strong. I'm not strong at the moment.
We've gone through a few questions now.
Not strong at the moment.
Bit of talk about Alex Cuthbert leaving the Blues. Good thing for him. Yeah, I think it's a good thing for him. Talk of him going to Gloucester, apparently, on the lowdown. You've heard it here first.
Cuthbert and Banahan on the wings. Big units.
Yep. Yeah.
Big units.
Mm.
Yeah. Bit of kick chase there, isn't there?
Yeah. A couple of good wings coming through the Blues as well with Owen Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. And others.
And others. Et al.
Yeah.
Do you know what, Tom? I feel like we're coming to the end of our podcast now.
It seems like a natural end is occurring.
Yeah. Also quite peckish. Want to get back to Bath M&S for that quinoa or Burger King across the road. Don't know yet.
Take care.
Ta-ra.